Welcome to The After Party, the weekly follow-up to sermons from Harbor of Hope Christian Church in Chelmsford, Massachusetts. We sit down every Sunday with the pastor who spoke and dive deeper into the topic from each week. Without further ado, join the party.
Hey.
Hi. Hi, this is our first podcast. we're following up from sermons that we give at Harbor, and I am Jeff, and I'm sitting here with Amy.
Hey.
Normally, it will be me hosting, interviewing the people who gave the sermon each week. But this week, since it's our soft launch, it's our first week doing this and recording this, I gave the sermon, and so Amy is going to be our host for the week and ask me questions about the sermon I just gave.
Yeah, it's like having a substitute teacher on the first day of school.
It's confusing and awesome.
We're making the most of it, yeah. That's for sure. So, Jeff, it was a great message today. New year, new you. Mm-hmm. And so the first question is pretty obvious. What are your New Year's resolutions this year?
I honestly didn't think about it that much yet. Having just spoken on New Year's resolutions, one, I definitely want to ski. I want to ski more. I talked about that in my sermon. I legitimately am cross-country skiing and want to keep getting better in doing that. That's just a goal. I want to be, this sounds a little pretentious, but I want to know myself more because I find myself as an Enneagram 9 morphing to other people a lot. So I want to be more confident in my own opinions and desires.
Are you looking for book recommendations?
I would love book recommendations.
Because I bet there are people listening to this
please,
with
send
great
us,
book recommendations.
Send us book recommendations.
Help Jeff know himself better.
Please. Just tell me who I am. I'm waiting. Do you have any New Year's resolutions?
That's awesome. Well, I do. And I made a hasty New Year's resolution a couple of days ago to run 1,000 miles this year.
Great. All at once?
And so we got a treadmill. And now my knee hurts. And so...
From the treadmill?
I don't know.
Okay.
I get excited and then I jump into things really fast and then I hurt myself. So we're going to hope that this still pans out. You guys should ask me midway through the year if I've hit 500 miles or not, but
I think that idea of wanting it all at once might transfer into our conversation pretty well.
Yeah, I think it will actually. So you talked today, you actually address about like today really well how we make all these New Year's resolutions. We're constantly seeking this contentment, this like thing out there that fulfills us, you know, filling this like void within us. And inevitably we fail and then we set new goals and things like that. I'm so intimately in tune with this feeling. But you talked a lot about contentment and our like literal inability to feel contentment.
Yeah.
Can you unpack that a little bit? Like, where does this come from, do you think?
I think so in terms of contentment, I feel like, and maybe I'm off base in saying this, I feel like we all want to feel content. Like, we want things to be okay. We want things to be put together. We want to feel secure. Not some people do, but not many people like the struggle or the challenge or the difficulty. So we want to feel good and feel like everything is okay. But I think we're just kind of dumb as people. And so we go after
these. I don't disagree.
And we go after these things that are more immediate or more temporary. And which is the stereotype of you pursue sin instead of pursuing God. But I think we make that into like getting drunk and having sex instead of the real things we all pursue as like wanting to be right or wanting to have a temporary victory of internal success or satisfaction, which ultimately is temporary, and then it goes away.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because I don't think I've ever felt like completely content in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually kind of afraid of feeling content. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a personality trait thing. But the idea of kind of like feeling too content, like – I like having two or three to-do list items still left over at the end of the day so that I know I have something to do tomorrow. This might be speaking into like personal neuroses that I have.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, Maybe both and. People, yeah. Some people like having more and not being satisfied, and some people, I aim for it. I want it. But I found the only times I've found it is when I shut out the to-do lists, when I just ignore them or intentionally forget about them.
Mm. Yeah, see, this is a conversation between an Enneagram 9 and an Enneagram 3. And if you are new to the Enneagram, then look into it, because that's funny. So let's speak directly to our friends who are listening who are new to all of this, like new to faith in general, new to church, new to Harbor. A lot of what you talked about today was this beautiful idea of partaking in God's divine nature and being transformed as a like progressive, present progressive verb, as something that's ongoing, that is a process with a rhythm. And this all sounds beautiful and gorgeous and enticing, and I want it. But let's say that this is like the first time someone has heard about this. What is the first step into this sort of transformation? Where would you point somebody?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think it points at, and this is my first non-answer to avoid answering at first. it points to the fact that and I think a good first step is not expecting it all at once. To not expect to be perfect at all, but definitely not all at once. To know that it's okay to start slow, to feel like if you're new to faith that you don't know anything compared to everyone around you, that you don't know the culture, you don't know the language, you don't know scripture, you don't know as much as you feel like you should. So first is being okay not knowing or not being there, not being enough. And a first step, not to plug Harbor specifically, but I want to. I really do think a good first step is just getting connected to people, to someone or a group of people, someone who can mentor you or a group of people who can walk alongside you as you grow and develop. So like a small group at Harbor, or even just a good group of friends, or a new friend that you meet at church or in some kind of Bible study or small group to get connected. And then there's also plenty of Bible reading resources if you just want to start reading that we can post in the show notes.
Yeah, we should. We should post the Read Scripture app.
Yes. Yeah, download the Bible app or Read Scripture app, and it helps guide you through slowly.
Totally. There's so many resources now that there weren't even like 10 years ago. It's crazy. And it sounds like one of the most important things, and I think a hurdle a lot of people feel like when they hear from stage, you know, one of us being like, so jump into a group or do this thing or do this next step that we have lined up for you, to feel like it's okay to show up completely empty-handed.
Yes.
And I mean that metaphorically, like empty-handed in that you've never cracked a Bible, totally fine, show up anyway.
Yeah.
Empty-handed, like you have a whole lot of doubts and you're not sure if this God thing is real, totally fine, show up anyway.
We don't have prerequisites or qualifications.
Yeah, the transformation can only start if you decide to show up, and you might have nothing to offer when you do. It's pretty neat. So you mentioned also that there's this kind of 1-2-3 rhythm. I thought that was beautiful. I could like hear music starting to play when you were talking about that at the end of your sermon. And it's this rhythm of remembering and then forgetting and then becoming and remembering and forgetting and becoming. And you said at one point that it's all over scripture.
Yeah.
So tell us more.
Sure.
Where do we find more of this? Like, how do you see this throughout scripture?
I mean, it's hard to point to it as that exact process in individuals, but I think any character that we follow, especially in the Old Testament that followed characters a lot more, there was a lot of this spiral of good to bad, good to bad. Moses is one. He starts out by killing someone in his story, and then he finds God after he kills someone. So there's this separation and connection, and then ultimately he ends with God punishing him, not entering the promised land, because he didn't follow God or have his people follow God as well as he should have. And we see this with David. There is a progression of high and mighty king. These are actually examples of people going downward, which is honestly more realistic than what we want to see, which is upward momentum ultimately. But it is still a cycle of David, you know, slays Goliath, and then he becomes king, and then he does some bad stuff with some people in scripture, and there's a connection and a falling apart. And then one more, if you don't mind. even the cycle in the book of Judges is a lot of like collective and communal remembering and forgetting, where God calls his people to him with the judges, mm-hmm. then the judge dies, and then his people fall away. So they remember and forget and remember and forget. And again, they ultimately spiral downward. Mm-hmm. But that all points to our need for Jesus, who is the ultimate rememberer, if I can
I like that. That way. Yeah. It's not in you know, Handel's Messiah, but still a great, great title. Yeah. And what's amazing, though, is you're mentioning like Moses, David, these like massive biblical mm-hmm. heroes. It's not like their decline prevented God from using them.
Absolutely
in like infinitely impactful ways, which is incredibly encouraging to those of us who struggle every day to keep the momentum going up. So this actually reminds me of something you and I have spoken about before.
Yes.
In our journey group, when we were in a small group together, not so long ago, I guess. And I have thought that this is such a brilliant idea, so brilliant that I wrote a paper for seminary once and quoted you and cited you as a human being in a conversation in the paper because I thought it was such a good idea. This idea that God's like spiritual development over scripture and throughout mm-hmm. humanity can be compared to childhood development.
Yes. Yeah.
So please grace the rest of this audience listening with this brilliant idea because it's something that I personally can't stop thinking about. I think it's so awesome.
Yeah. This is totally in line with the idea of that God is a God of progress and process. I'll start light if I can just tangentially go forward. In Corinthians, I forget which one, I should have written it down, but Paul calls the Corinthian people infants in Christ, mm-hmm. and he says, I gave you baby food because you weren't mature enough in your faith to have solid food, which is a direct metaphor of childhood and growth and being new in faith, needing something lighter and something more palatable before you can enter into the nitty-gritty of who God is and what life with God has to offer. Mm. So there is a development of faith. But I think this is true big picture. And I tried teasing it out more than this on my own, but I could only really get too definitive. I tried tracking through, who's the stages of development? Is it Piaget?
That sounds right. Honestly, I don't know, but that sounds smart and correct.
There is a philosopher or psychologist
or something that's not Freud.
Development of human stages and the biggest transformations is in childhood. There is a very black and white thinking, a very right and wrong thinking, and so when there is a child, you give them a set of rules. You say, "Hey, don't run with scissors. Don't touch the stove. Don't do this or that," because it is for their good, it's for their benefit. But as they grow, they can understand why they were told that. So mm-hmm. it's like, don't touch the stove until you know how to handle it properly. Mm-hmm. Don't run with scissors because it's dangerous. And so as people develop, they can become more understanding, more aware of the nuance of why the rules are there. And I think it's very similar to the way that God reveals himself to his people. Because in Exodus, when Moses gets the law, when he gets the Torah, the instruction, he gets this set of very explicit rules of this is what makes you my people, is if you follow these of right and wrong. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not lie. Honor the Sabbath day. Don't hold any other gods before me. All these things that it's their first glance, their first preliminary childhood glance into who God is and who God wants them to be. So they have to have these distinct, rigid ideas, which are transformed when Jesus comes, because he says, hey, the law is fulfilled. The law is not what you need to follow anymore, because you are mature enough to handle the nuance of love and grace and acceptance. Mm. The law is not wrong or any less of who God is, but it is childhood. It is rudimentary. It is more palatable than us trying to understand what it means that everything is permissible but not everything is beneficial, because that's a complex idea that you can't get or understand until you are more mature in brain development. And so humanity wasn't able to palate it or understand it until they were more mature in societal development.
Mm, that's so good. And as someone with small children, it's so true. Like, there is no nuance to right. the rules you give a 6-year-old, you know right. what I mean? And then suddenly you're like, hey, do you want to learn how to cut a vegetable? And you hand them a knife. And mm-hmm. it's like, what?
Right.
They're because you've told me to stay away from these things my whole life, and now you're letting me hold it. And there's this like thrill that comes with it, which I think is like comparable to the thrill that we as humanity mm. experience in like the freedom that Christ offers us, is this yeah, sort of beautiful. Like, wait, there's more to this, like, not nuance, these things that I'm not allowed to do. Suddenly it's not that I'm just allowed to do them. It's that you're going to show me mm. how to live life in a way that actually fulfills me more. And there's a thrill to that. And you see it in the face of a kid who you allow to do something for the first time sure. that you've yelled at them for. I'm sorry, not yelled, obviously.
No,
obviously,
no
very
one,
patiently
no one here
and calmly
yells
corrected.
When they're upset.
I've never yelled at either of my kids. I'm just kidding. yeah, I mean, it's so interesting. What do you think that means for like where we are as humanity now and how God speaks to us? Do you think that it's developed more since Christ? This is a question you weren't prepared for,
no,
probably.
No, I know. I'm processing. I have had thoughts on this before. They're not coming to mind right now. Ultimately, yes. I think there is a... It does not change who God is or who Jesus is or what he did. I think it means we are at a place in society where we can handle the nuance, where we can handle this idea that more things are okay than we give permission for. There are, this is not to speak ill of any other churches, but a lot of churches have a lot stricter rules to their moral code. And I think that is Old Testament thinking. I'm not sure if it's developed more over time, but I think churches get sucked into this Old Testament thinking of rules when in reality we do have permission for everything, but we have to understand with the Holy Spirit speaking to us and God on our hearts, we have to understand what is beneficial for us and the people around us.
Mm. Yeah, and I think that part of the nuanced thinking that we get to benefit from at this stage in history, in the history of humanity, is that it's not so much that we have like permission to do whatever we
right.
want. It's that we are given the freedom to see the nuances mm-hmm. in things, and also to enjoy forgiveness from things that we
sure.
shouldn't have done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the beautiful thing, too.
Yeah, I like that.
And sort of, you know, it's like I would imagine, I don't have adult children yet, but I would imagine that having adult children, even the kids learn how to forgive parents. And
right.
I guess I am an adult child. I have parents. So, but that there's some sort of like reciprocal understanding of one another that you can't achieve. And frankly, the black and white non-nuanced rules, and you spoke to this a moment ago, that's comforting. There's something mm-hmm. really nice about knowing whether something's right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always more fun or better or easier to have that nuance. Nuance mm-hmm. is actually really hard, and
yeah.
it's almost impossible to do perfectly or well.
Yeah.
But man, do
right.
we need it in today's world. It's
right.
like, it's crazy.
And the beauty is that when we stray from the rules, when we get it wrong, it does not mean separation in the way that a system of rules indicates. Because
yeah.
there is that flow, that dance, that ability to go back and forth and understanding that consistent love of God.
Yeah, and that's the gospel.
Absolutely.
That's the good news,
yes.
is that no matter how big you mess up,
yeah.
there's always a way back to
yeah.
God.
Yes.
And that messing up happens. We definitely do the wrong things. We definitely stray from God's plan for our life. I personally, on a daily basis, like struggle the way we all do, I think, with sin, because I think sin's really real, but that there's always a way back. And there aren't like 3 strikes and you're out. And that's the gospel. That's the
right.
good news. That's
yes.
like, that's it. For those of you who are new to faith and listening for the first time today, that's it. That's the gospel, that there's always a way back. The door is always open.
Nailed it.
There you go. We just summed up all
hashtag,
of scripture for you.
Hashtag converted. You're welcome.
Oh, man. Well, is there anything else, thinking back on today's message about this, you know, launching into or actually staying launched, maybe, mm-hmm. in this consistent rhythm of being a work in progress? Mm-hmm. Is there anything else from the message that you, like, maybe left out for time or something you'd want people to know?
I think just in line with all of this, and not to get too heady or scriptural, and this is just to reemphasize what was said, that God is not done with you yet, that it is not the end. There is no finish line until we are with him. In scripture, we see this development, this progression, and then the ultimate promise is that God is going to redeem all things, that God is going to reunite all things to him. And I think that is the hope we are looking for, not an earthly arrival, not a getting it right, not reaching perfection, but one day there will be a new heaven, new earth, a reconciliation of all of us back and into the divine.
Amen.
Boom.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, Harbor, or people who are not from Harbor, yeah, who are listening today, we love you a whole lot, and we hope that you continue to walk with us in this new year. And we'll be back next week. We're starting a new series next week. It's called Fighting Words.
And then we'll get to hear from Amy about what she has to say.
Yeah, Fighting Words. You know that's going to be fun if we're talking about fighting.
I hope
don't not come because we're talking about fight. We will not fight.
Good.
Don't worry. Yeah. It's all peace here. It's all peace here at Harvard.
Thank you for joining the After Party. You can follow our sermon series online at harborofhope.org, and you can party with us again next week wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you're in the area, please visit us at Harbor of Hope Christian Church on Sundays at 9:30 or 11. Party on.